Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa. Stop it! Stop it! Do not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Always a fun time talking to our friend KC Johnson, and he joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. KC, good morning. How are you?
Happy Bulls opening day, gentlemen. How you doing?
Yeah, I think we're kind of pumped up for it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I like what I saw with the in the preseason. They're a significantly improved team. And, you know, I don't know how long that takes to get up and running, but I think there's so many things to be curious about in terms of how guys play together, how the defensive effort is there, or how you rebound the ball. There's just a lot of questions, but there could be some positive answers.
Yeah, that's kind of the overall I'm getting. I mean, a lot of people are asking me how this is going to look and what their record's going to be and where they're going to finish. I'm guessing on that like everybody else, but I think what's undeniable is just how significantly they've upgraded their talent, and it's just going to translate to me to a better product to watch on a nightly basis. And I think that's something we can all rally around and enjoy. The preseason kind of kept the positive momentum of the off season going, and look, they've got an opportunity here with an early schedule before it gets serious in November. These first four games, I know there's a cliche of one game at a time, but they really should start, 4-0 if you look at it. I mean, the Pistons are rebuilding and are without Cade Cunningham, and the Raptors are without Siakam, and the Pelicans are without Zion. So you got an opportunity here to keep this momentum going, and it starts tonight in Detroit.
KC, I'm most curious about Lonzo Ball. You wrote about him on NBCSportsChicago.com. I wonder what you think his most significant contribution will be in terms of seeing change immediately. On the offensive end, where he is going to be directing everything, or defensively, where I think he's a little bit underrated?
That's a great question, because I'm not even sure if I could pick one. I mean, that's how important I see this guy's role being. Offensively, it's not so much that he's going to be directing everything. It's just he's going to be overseeing the style of play that Billy and Arturis and Mark Eversley want to implement, and that's just playing up-tempo and faster. And you can see that they've, put a lot of athletes on this roster, a lot of, wing-heavy interchangeable parts, and Lonzo's kind of the conductor of just getting them to play with more pace. And he's so good at throwing the ball ahead and taking a high outlet pass even after made baskets, and just trying to attack the defense before it can get set and getting the right matchup. So that's kind of his MO offensively, and obviously he's added an improved three-point shot along the way. So that's important. I guess if I had to pick, I would probably say defense, just because I got to say, man, I his reputation is he's a good defender, and you see that when you see him once or twice a year and maybe catch a game on League Pass. But when you see him up close for even just for preseason games, man, this dude is he's really, really good. He's got such anticipation. He's got such length. He's got a really high IQ. He blows up screens pretty well. He gets over screens. So I think he's going to be really, really important at that end, him and Alex Caruso. So I'm looking forward to watching him guard on a nightly basis.
Can Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan, can they coexist happily?
Yeah, in fact, I think that's where DeMar is going to make his biggest impact. Is he's just going to alleviate so much offensive pressure on Zach, or I should say defensive attention on Zach. You know, before, guys, I was kind of on the mindset, like a lot of people, that I thought it would be hard-pressed for Zach to match last season because he was so good offensively last season at 27.4 points per game, shooting splits of, you know, 50, 40, and 84.9. And then just watching in the preseason, you know, he's going to be in less decision-making responsibilities. He's going to be more off-the-ball situation, catch-and-shoot situations. He's going to be, not facing as many double teams. I mean, he was triple teamed sometimes last year. That's just not going to happen. You're going to always have at least two, often three elite scorers on the floor at one time, and DeRozan, LaVine, and Vucevic. So, he may not average 27.4 points a game, but I think efficiency-wise, he certainly has an opportunity to match or even exceed last season. So, I think it's a fantastic fit. DeRozan's one of the best isolation scorers in the league. Obviously deadly in the mid-range. So, the way these guys have played, guys reading each other and playing unselfishly, the assist-to-turnover ratio, that stuff's going to translate. I know they didn't play great opponents in the preseason, but I'm not saying they're going to be beating the Bucks and the Nets on a nightly basis, but just that style of play, I see it translating through the regular season.
Patrick Williams missed a lot of preseason with the ankle injury, KC. Where is he health-wise, and how important is it for him to carve out a niche in the second year?
Yeah, it really is because, you know, it's nice adding all these shiny new toys, and you know, they're certainly going to be important to his success, but he is a foundational piece if he's, you know, the first personnel move of the new regime and the fourth overall pick. So how does he, you know, I asked Billy a couple of days ago, how does he, you know, improve upon that aggressive mindset that we've heard so much from the organization that he needs to improve upon, you know, in a lineup that has gotten more firepower. And, you know, he said it doesn't always need to come from shots. It comes from running the floor hard, dragging defenders, you know, to the corners when you run the wings hard in transition, just creating space by the gravity of your shooting ability, things like that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch if he kind of has those moments where he fades into the background, as he did from my seat too often last season, because the physical and athletic gifts are clearly there. To your question of where he is, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on a little bit of a minutes limit tonight. He's only played the one preseason game. But, you know, kudos to him for getting back on the front end of that injury, which, you know, I was described to as pretty severe ankle sprain, and he got back in 4 weeks. So it's just nice that he's going to be able to be out there tonight against the Pistons.
So there's some huge NBA stories, right? I mean, Kyrie,
yeah,
what the heck is going on with that? Simmons is suspended for the first game for a practice rift. And we heard Joel Embiid, I think it's about the 20th time, we're not here to babysit. We got one of those.
Great.
Do the Bulls have a chance to kind of sneak in and surprise some people while other teams that you think very highly of are trying to figure it out in the Eastern Conference? What kind of season do you expect them to have?
Yeah, that's a good question, and you got to love the association. It never fails to produce drama of the ways you just sometimes can never imagine even. It's amazing. This is kind of my point, is I see this team really being – I'm still maybe not sold on it for like a deep playoff run, just because I'm a traditionalist, and I think size and physicality win in the playoffs. And I think this team has a chance to be physical, but the size concerns I think could be – real come playoff time. But I think this team has a really good chance to have a very strong regular season, just because offensively I think they're going to be really, really good. And, you know, you can take advantage of schedule wins, you know, where you're playing a good team on the second of a back-to-back. I just think, again, their style of play is going to translate. So to your point, I mean, they're not, you know, the Nets are going to be really good no matter what happens with Kyrie. There's no getting around that. the Sixers also will be very good, you know, no matter what happens with Ben Simmons. And look, if he's traded, he's going to be traded for a very good player. So you have to factor that in. But, you know, will the Knicks take a step back after their surprising regular season last year? Did the Hawks peak last year? I mean, these are legitimate questions. So, I can see the Bulls sneaking into that. I think best case scenario, they're fighting for home court advantage. That's if everything goes right. I can see them more in that 5-6 range. But I think this is a team that has a chance to have a very good regular season. And, you know, you're right. There's going to be some teams that are going to be dealing with some things early on, and the Bulls just don't have any of those issues right now. It's been very seamless to this point.
Casey, we know about the starting five. We know about the new players and how that's going to work by design. How about the second team? How about the second unit? And is Alex Caruso destined to be the proverbial fan favorite?
Yeah, it's already happened, David. You know, I mean, the reaction he got when he checked into that first preseason game, it's like, you know, Scalabrine times 10. You know, we didn't get the chance, but he's going to be a fan favorite. And look, why not? I mean, just watch the guy play. I mean, he's very intelligent. He's very physical. He plays hard. Defensively, he just, you know, runs into things and gets over them. I think he's going to be a really, really nice addition. And I think he's going to be a big, big anchor to that second unit. You know, Billy's staggering. He's still trying to figure out how to stagger best the starters, but one of DeRozan or LaVine will be with that second unit, you know, a majority of the time. So that's another part of the bench. And then, you know, Coby White isn't ready yet, but he'll be there eventually. And then it's just, you know, who emerges. I mean, Tony Bradley was hurt during the preseason and looked, you know, a little bit out of game shape in the one preseason game he did play, but he's the only legitimate size they have past Vucevic. What kind of role will he carve out for himself? Troy Brown Jr. Will also have a decent role, I would assume. And then it's just who emerges. I mean, Alize Johnson took advantage of his opportunity. Is he going to carve out a regular rotation role? Right now you say, where is he going to play? But every time I say that, someone tells me, don't count this guy out. I mean, he looked much more poised in the preseason than he did during summer league. So I think that's Billy and his staff are going to be figuring that out as they go along. But to me, Caruso, Troy Brown Jr., and eventually Coby will be three big pieces to that reserve unit.
So I guess Bet Rivers has him at 43.5 wins. David Haw has him at 44 wins. Dustin, what did you have, 45 wins? I had 47, Casey. I really think I'm big on this team, man. I mean, I'm going best case scenario. Where do you have them?
Yeah, I'm terrible predictions, guys. But I not to make boring radio, but I'd probably be right in there. I'd probably. You said Dustin at 47,
45. Yeah.
Yeah, Dustin's my guy. That's kind of where I'm going. 45. I'm going
nice.
Dustin.
Yeah. Good though. That's we're all
it's a good
optimistic.
Year. Yeah,
yes,
that's
no
exciting.
Question.
It
would be a big jump. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff, KC.
Thanks, KC.
All right. Always good talking to you guys. We'll talk to you during the season.
Enjoy all right. Yep. Enjoy the game, KC. Doing great work for NBC Sports Chicago, and he's a regular.
He doesn't like predictions, but he did give us reason to think they could start 4-0.
You know what? I mean, if they start 4-0, does that mean they got more wins than the Bears by Monday?
Wow. Let's ask Stacey Dales.
All right. We'll bring Stacey Dales in next while you know on the screen.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Stacy Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Here at Hallis Hall, as expected, continued buzz around the quarterbacks, especially when it comes to the 11th overall pick, Justin Fields.
Breaking down the latest from the Bears beat and news from around the NFL.
The other thing I would say about Justin Fields, it's really interesting when I go and I look at our research packet, Next Gen Stats, he has the highest sack rate and the highest blitz rate among all quarterbacks in the National Football League. This guy is getting heat, and he's getting heat from everywhere. And that right there changes your mindset at the line of scrimmage.
Former WNBA All-Star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming, and Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy landing. Stacy Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacy Dales with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Stacy Dales, and she joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mully and Haw. I'm awesome. I'm super pumped. The Chicago Sky won a WNBA championship. Big shout out to them. James Wade, Michael Alter, Candace Parker. Couldn't be happier for them and ready to go in week seven.
You had to take some pride in that, Stacy, in all seriousness, because you scored the first basket in Sky history. And here they are 15 years later celebrating a championship.
It just makes me old, David. So
well,
I don't even remember who I was then. Okay. So I'm very proud of them. You know, there's still some fixtures with that franchise that, you know, I was with all those years ago. And so I'm really excited for them. You know, that even Ann Crosby was basically our strength coach. She is still with that team and probably the best. I've worked with several great strength coaches in my career. She might be the best ever. So I'm just really happy for them and what a great team performance they put on through the playoffs.
Yeah, no question about it. And the celebration yesterday was fantastic, too. It was great to see that many people come out. And they brought the broken door, which I thought was a real funny thing to do.
Great.
Great sense of humor. A lot of fun. The broken door. We got to get, a Twitter account for the broken door. You know, it just... It has to happen.
Maybe they can put it at Daily Plaza next to the Picasso sketch sculpture. Yeah.
Great. All right. So, Stacy, look, I said to David during the break, I can't wait to get some new information and start focusing on Tampa because we've been so kind of Aaron Rodgers owns the team and how the response to that is, and what Olin said to us, and then what he said, and the whole, it's almost like a little tiresome, the story. But God bless him. He owns the Bears. He's done unbelievably against them in his career, 22-5. You can't argue that. And they must have felt pretty good, because that was a more contested game than you thought it would be. And they didn't really win by throwing the ball. They won by running the ball, and that might have been unexpected.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers until, as far as, you know, the Bears go, until he's no longer a Green Bay Packer. I mean, he does own the Bears, and I had to do a recap on our shows on Monday on NFL Network, and I mean, the numbers are undeniable. You guys know it. I mean, he's 22-5 all time against the Bears. He's 11-3 at Soldier Field. You know, he's even played an NFC championship at Soldier Field. So until you beat somebody, I mean, we said this about Michael Jordan, guys. Like, everybody hated Michael Jordan who wasn't a Bulls fan. Okay, I happen to be a Bulls fan. So I was very pleased for many years, you know. The Green Bay Packers are who they are, and they're actually my game this week against the Washington football team. But as far as the Bears go, listen, I think this defense is really special. Robert Quinn's going to be an issue out this week on the COVID reserve list. It's going to be an issue because he demands now, the way he's playing, the motor he's playing with now in his 11th season, he demands so much attention. And this Bears defense, I think for listeners out there, they held the Bucs to 19 points in week 5 last year. And Sean Desai, I love Chuck Pagano, one of my great friends in the league. Sean Desai wasn't the defensive coordinator. Look how he has these guys playing this year, right? Last year's week 5 game was the second fewest by the Bucs in 2020. Okay, their output offensively. So when you can hold Tom Brady to 19 points in a game, it's significant. I think this Bears defense is really good. And the reason I believe that is because I listen to other coaches. You know, I talked to Nathaniel Hackett on the field before the game. I've listened to Matt LaFleur in press conferences. Bruce Arians, the coach of the Bucs this week, said this defense alongside the Saints and the Rams is the best they'll face all season long. So when other coaches say this is the best defense because the Packers said it, Matt LaFleur said it, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, told me this is the best defense we have seen and will probably see all year long, I believe them when they tell me that or when they say that. So I think, you know, this will be another good football game. We'll see if the offense can score some points.
Big reason why, Stacey, is Jalen Johnson. And you had a post-game interview with Devontae Adams where he declared himself the best receiver in football. And I don't think anybody in Chicago would argue with that. Jalen Johnson had a pretty good game, though, in limiting him in terms of targets, in terms of receptions. What did you think overall about Jalen Johnson's job on Devontae Adams? And how much faith do you have that he can have a similar type game against Mike Evans or whoever he decides to shadow in Tampa?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, David. Jalen is becoming quite a player. In fact, during my post-game interview with Devontae, he mentioned 33. You know, when I listen to what players tell me, what coaches tell me, and I have great respect for that. And Devontae, in our post-game interview, said, 33 is a good player now. And so when you hear that from an 8-year veteran like Devontae Adams, who right now is the best receiver in the league, because there's a lot of good ones. Cooper Kupp is right up there. Obviously, Stephon Diggs. You know, there's several that are playing at a high level. Jamar Chase, goodness gracious, D-Hop. But yep. Right now, given the numbers and consistency, Devontae is the best receiver in the National Football League. And so he has respect for Jalen Johnson. I like the way they're using him. Because Devontae Adams is also, by the way, seeing so many different coverage looks. And for Jalen and now his second year to be able to sort of master what Sean Desai wants him to do against a guy like that on Sunday, I think it's fantastic. And you're right. Until he had that 41-yard reception in the fourth quarter that really, you know, pushed this game away for the Bears. From the Bears, I think they did a pretty good job defensively overall, especially against a team that wants to marry the run with the pass. And that's what the Packers are doing right now and why I think they're they're still good offensively. They're not what we saw last year offensively, but they're still really good, and they're going to get better.
You know, we were talking about what you do with Jalen Johnson against Tampa. You know, you think about that, those. If you wanted to put him on one guy, you're almost spoiled for choice, which is not a good thing. Obviously, Mike Evans, we know how good he is and how big he is, all the things he can do. Antonio Brown has been a real bailout receiver for Brady. You know, Godwin is not a guy that you would think of trying to shut him down alone. But in terms of Evans and Antonio, who would you try to stop?
I think Antonio's coming along at a pace better than obviously we saw last year.
Right.
It's a hard proposition because we don't know if Gronk is going to play in this game. Mm-hmm. So when Bruce Arians was asked about all these guys, I mean, he's making progress. When he comes back, that changes the entire scope of how you defend this football team, right, from the rib injuries. So you have a query, right, when you look at Evans, Godwin, and Antonio Brown. So here's what I'm most concerned about, though. If I'm looking at this game as a fan, Leonard Fournette has become the, you know, perennial back for that football team, and he's doing it in the pass game, and he's doing it in the run game. And now you add Gronk back. We'll see when he returns. Is he healthy enough to return this week? Bruce Arians couldn't answer that question, Mully, on Monday. So, there's a lot of challenges if you're the Bears defensively. And when you enter in Rob Gronkowski, if he's able to be healthy enough to play, that changes how you defend, like the entire shell of your defense, basically. So I don't know if I can, you know, marry Jalen Johnson with any one guy.
Right.
For me, it's how do you defend this nucleus offensively?
So with the Bears offense, Stacey, when you go and look at the Bucs defense, they stop the run so well. You wonder which direction that will lead Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor. Will they say, okay, we're going to try to run the ball anyway because we want to try to have as many rushing attempts as possible, reduce the game and play keep away? Or do they say, okay, we have very little chance of winning this game. We're going to go high risk, high reward, open things up for Justin Fields because this, you know, this is the way to attack the vulnerable spot in the Bucs defense, which is the secondary, and we'll take our shots. What do you think they'll do?
I think they'll do what we've seen because they're still grooming this young rookie quarterback. I mean, they think their identity is to run the football. Now they're going to face the number one rush defense in the National Football League. I think they're still going to try to run it because they have to. I mean, just my common sense, David, tells me they have to try to run the ball because that's what's working for them right now. You know, when I look at the Bears offensively, the tight windows that Fields is trying to throw to, they're too tight. Either they have to, like, push this thing in every different direction to get some receivers open. I did think they tried to take some shots downfield against the Packers on Sunday. We saw the interception in the end zone from Fields. But I do think they want to expand this offense. I mean, Nagy said on Monday that they're starting to see the type of throws he likes. And it is going to be a process. He's starting to capture sort of the concepts within this offense that they want him to capture. But how do you go away from what's working for you? I think they start out running the ball. I think you have to against Tampa. Here's what also concerns me. I mean, this is a really good defense. Yes, you're right, David. They've shown they can be challenged in their secondary in the pass game, but they're blitzing on almost 40% of opposing quarterback dropbacks. That's the second highest rate in the NFL. What have we talked about the last few weeks? Justin Fields is seeing so much pressure. He's obviously getting sacked a whole bunch. But the Bucs blitz and they pressure the quarterback. They pressure the quarterback on 38% of blitzes, which is the fifth highest rate in the league. So Justin Fields is going to see more and more and more heat until the Bears figure out a way to take that pressure off of him and get some easy throws for him. And so while I think they're going to run the football, I would just love to see him get some easy completions to where everything doesn't feel so, you know, when you're like, you feel some anxiety in life and you stop and you tense up. I just feel like watching the Bears right now, that's, I just want it to be relaxed. I want them to relax.
Yeah, it is too hard.
Yeah. I want them to relax into an offensive rhythm to where it looks comfortable for Justin Fields. And I think as he learns, maybe that will come, because I do believe in Justin Fields. I think he's a really good, talented quarterback. And again, the opposing coaches, they say that every week, right? The potential is off the charts.
Stacey, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you as always.
Great stuff.
Awesome, guys. Have a great week 7, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. All
righty. That is Stacey Dales from the NFL Network. Does a great job. She really took that apart pretty well there. That is interesting.
She understands this team.
No question.
She does.
Yeah.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Their longest pass play is 64 yards to Mooney. You know, the next longest pass play is, I think, 28 yards. I mean, they do not get the ball down the field. And the one thing is, when you ask that question about Dalton, I think the reason you're running the ball so well is because Fields is in the game. And you're forced to run the ball. If Dalton was in the game, you probably would be trying to run sticks and spacing and doing all the things that the West Coast wants to do, but it doesn't really help your team become powerful. And so I think that his presence has allowed the running game to really help and shine and keep the score to where it's manageable. You know, you go into Las Vegas and you go out there and win that game because you're able to keep the score manageable for yourself.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That's Michael Lombardi. Interesting to hear his take on that. And I like that idea. I like the idea that if, the question was to him, how would he feel about Andy Dalton being the starter? Could they have won that game without Fields being the starter? And the answer is, well, Fields, because of the limitations, because of the way you have to use him, you run the ball more, and that makes you a tougher, more physical team, and you're in more games as a result of that than what we would have seen from Matt Nagy in the whole offensive circus if you had Fields or Dalton.
I find that fascinating. We've had some really good guests the last hour and a half or so. I want to go through some highlights of each one, but that's the one that stood out, Mully, because I don't think I thought of it that way. Don't we think of Andy Dalton, the consummate game manager, the guy that would be, you know, stabilizing and conservative in the Bears' approach?
But you're not going to be running the ball because you're going to have a different offensive play caller.
Because you're going to think you can do it all.
Yeah,
you can think you can do these fancy, you know, pick rub plays and short passing game.
And you do a lot of diamond formation where you flip the ball to the tight end.
Yeah, and then let's throw in a shovel pass for good measure.
Yeah.
Now with Justin Fields, you're not going to be tempted, so you're almost saving the Bears from Matt Nagy by giving them Justin Fields.
That's an indictment on Nagy.
Well, it kind of is.
I'm just saying.
It kind of is.
That's exactly what the truth of the matter is.
But we have seen that work
yes.
in terms of the identity that the Bears embraced after the Raiders' victory. That's who they wanted to be going into the Packers game. You pick your spots with the passing game, you use the run to set up play action, and you have your quarterback that can make something out of nothing if everything breaks down. That's what they have to do against the Bucs if I guess the same approach is taken. But I didn't think of it in those terms, and I thought Michael Lombardi put it in a really interesting way. So that was number one. Now, Joe Ostrowski does great work here on every show and does a terrific job. I didn't realize that the last 5 times the Bears had played that the under had come in. What does that tell you about this weekend?
Tells you they're not going to score and they're going to keep their opponent from scoring too much. So I think what it tells you is what is the over-under in this game? It's a 12.5 spread right now. The look-ahead line was 10. It opened at 13.5, and now it's 12.5.
45-ish.
35?
45-ish.
45.
I'll tell you what you do. You move that up to about 51 in a teaser, and you bet the under. That is part of a 6-point teaser.
Right now, FanDuel's got it at 47.5.
Okay, then move it up to 53 and bet the under in a 6-point teaser.
Interesting. Wow. Thanks, Joe.
Joe Packers Bears under was part of a winning 6-team teaser that I had this past week.
You had a 6-team teaser.
Yikes.
6-team teaser.
What did that pay?
It's impressive.
Pretty good.
So
unfortunately, I only bet $5 on it.
But you do that. That's your bet. You do like multi-team teasers.
I usually do 10
teasers.
Teamers, and I've been hitting like 8 and 9. I haven't hit a 10-teamer yet.
But finally hit a 16.
So today, last week I said enough. I'm going down to 6.
And has that covered your wagers thus far?
Yeah, I'm about even now.
Nice.
Because I hit the one the other day.
That's nice.
Well, I know, but I mean, a 10-point teaser, a 10-team teaser isn't going to come in. It'll come in once a year
if you're
lucky.
Last year I hit it four times between college and pro.
Get out of here.
So I made a little money on that.
Now, I know we'll give our picks on Friday, but do you think the Bears-Bucks is going to be under 47?
Well, I honestly think that this injury is bad. I think that the COVID.
I think the Bears should hope so. They should hope the under comes in again.
If they could, the only way they're going to win.
That's
is
the only chance they have.
But what I'm saying is, I think given the weaponry and everything that the Bucs have going for them, and being there, and the revenge factor, and everything combined, you really could use Robert Quinn in this game. And
absolutely,
I think
true.
That damages your ability to keep the under alive.
And I think with Robert Quinn, with this Bears defense, is what Bruce Arians, to get to the third point about Stacey Dales, what she said, the top three defense in the league?
Yeah.
Or the third, one of the top three defenses the Bucs will face this year?
The Saints, the Rams, and the Bears.
That, to me, is really saying something, and maybe Bruce Arians is just being kind to his next opponent and building them up in a way that...
Then why did Nathaniel Hackett say that's the best defense they played? I think they're a good defense.
I do, too.
But I think they're good because of what they have on their defensive line, and they invest a ton of money in it. And if you're already... you know, likely to be down Akeem Hicks or have a compromised Akeem because he's hurt his groin yet again. I don't know that he's playing, and I don't know that you're going to have Quinn available to you. So,
probably not. That's going to hurt.
They have depth
in that
line.
Position, though. Let me ask you this. Do we underrate the Bears defense because we see it all the time and we'll pick it apart, unlike maybe teams that see it once a season or twice a season will? Because I was surprised at that high of praise. I don't think this is a top five defense. This is maybe top 10 at best. Because I still don't think it's a good defense. The secondary still has issues.
On deck. There's no doubt the secondary has issues, but the front seven is probably as good as anyone in the league.
I'll give you that.
I think the league is in love with Roquan Smith.
Yeah,
I'm personally not in love with him. I'm not in the $100 million.
What don't you like?
He still has trouble covering the tight end. He can't get off of blocks on screen passes. There are little things that I don't like. I'm not ready to pay him $100 million.
He needs to start getting the ball. Bears defense needs to start getting the ball if we're going to actually consider them a top three, top five, top 10 defense.
And I also watched the Packers run right down their throat. And that's the other reason I like the under. The Bucs could use to work on their running game. And if you watch the tape of the Bears' second half defense against the run, I think you're enticed to work on your running game.
Well, Leonard Fournette could overrun them. I hear you. Yeah. But I think they're going to be spoiled for choice if they don't have the pass rush. And you said that they have other options in the pass rush. What makes them good is not so much the pass rush, but the defensive front. But they're rolling different bodies in.
Yeah.
And that's why
Quinn has been able to stay fresh. Mack has been able to stay on the field despite his injury situation. You know, I think that Gibson is a guy they're going to have to get more out of this week. And also our guy, Mario Edwards Jr.,
What did Biggsy tell us? That my guy, he needs to get out there and poke someone in the eye. What did Biggsy say? That the Bears are like penultimate in blitzes, or third from the bottom in blitzes?
They're the bottom five in blitzes.
Well, why?
Blitz percentage.
Why?
Because they've been getting home with four.
And if they
have to blitz Tom Brady this weekend, they're going to regret it.
They're going to regret it because
you don't have that kind of secondary.
You need to get home with four, and you need to pressure with four like they've been doing.
That's how you protect your secondary.
That's exactly
right. And the last point that Casey Johnson brought up, which I thought was amusing, we talked about during the break, is Bears related, but the Bulls could get the four victories before the Bears do.
I'm the one that pointed out.
You did point that out.
Casey said that they could go 4-0, and I said to you, if they go 4-0,
it's going to be Monday night.
On Monday night, they'll have more wins than the Bears for their season. I was actually the one that pointed that out.
Well, congratulations. I'm sorry that I
made your list, even though you honored
initially.
Casey with that information.
Casey,
I connected it.
You guys are both Bulls savants.
Damn it.
Bulls win four before the Hawks win one.
Oh, you had to end on a stinker.
Now the Canucks come in. Man. The Canucks come in at 1-2-1, so that's a game on Thursday you should win.
They've got to beat the Canucks.
You got to beat the Canucks.
If they can only stop the Sedin twins, are they still playing?
No.
They still have those guys dressed
your
in like
brother
the green
is ugly.
And blue, yeah. Those one-piece suits where you can't see their face.
They got to beat the kids. Your brother is ugly. That's the greatest insult ever. He told the twin, that your brother is. All right, we got Dan and Layla joining us next. It's Molly and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.